All right, folks, good afternoon. My name is Jennifer Peterson. Thank you for joining us for our call with DEP. Unfortunately, Commissioner Suberg has a prior commitment, so Deputy Commissioner Stephanie Cooper is sitting in for him today. So Stephanie, if you want to get started.
That's great. Thank you, Jen. And I will, reinforce the commissioner that sends his regrets and looks forward to catching up with this group together next month, and I'm sure we'll be having various conversations and meetings with some of you in the interim. But I am always glad to have the opportunity to be with this group and to hear your concerns and share information. And as usual, I am joined today by Kathy Baskin, our Assistant Commissioner for Water Resources, Yvette DePisa, who oversees our drinking water program, Damon Gutterman, our senior analyst in the drinking water program, and Mike Maynard from the operators board is also here today, as well as many staff from our regional offices. I could see many signing on. So I believe all of our regions are represented today, and that's underscores our commitment to be connecting with all of you and to be sharing information, solving problems, and getting through this COVID time together. So I think we'll follow our usual agenda. I do want to say, or Jen, you may have said it, but I should remind everyone that the call is being recorded and that we do post the recordings on our website after the fact so that people can access that information later. We are on a monthly schedule now, so we're in the first Tuesday of the month at 2 o'clock. We will have our usual updates from EPA and from the operators board. And there were a couple of topics that I know are front top of mind for people that I wanted to touch on as well. Let me see though, if Kevin Riley of EPA is here, I would let him go ahead and give his update. And if not, I can go ahead with some of the things I had in mind. Kevin, I think I may see you. If you're ready, please feel free to unmute yourself and thanks for being with us today.
Okay, you can hear me now?
Yes.
Great, okay. So the as always, Jane wants to emphasize how appreciative she is of you, the water suppliers, and the state for moving ahead in these obviously difficult times operationally and whatever else that we all have to deal with. She wanted me to be sure to let you, to remind you of a few things today. The America Water Infrastructure Act compliance updates. We have had all the large systems in the United States, those over 100,000, submit their risk assessment and risk and resilience assessments, and also their emergency response plans. The next group were the medium systems, those between 50 and 100,000. And they were in fact, they were due December 30th, and those have been submitted. And the emergency response certification for those, for the medium systems is due June 30th. And then for the remaining small systems, those between 3,300 and 50,000, your risk and resilience assessment is due June 30th. And then 6 months after that, the emergency response plans. And again, we want to emphasize, this is just simply a certification you are submitting. You are not actually submitting your analysis or your emergency response plans. We just want you to verify that, in fact, you have gone through the process. For the small systems, we are putting on some training this month. Actually, we've been putting it on since January through March. And so for those of you between that 3,300 and 50,000, you might want to tune into that and look at that. EPA has tried to simplify it for the small systems as much as possible. Somewhat of a checklist, okay? So we'd appreciate if everybody stays on top of that. And we know in Massachusetts, your emergency response plans are in fact reviewed when the sanitary surveys are done. That's great, but this is a national program as passed by Congress, so we do need those certifications. And then community-based water resilience case study. That is a webinar that is being put on March 3rd. And it is in fact focusing on the Greater Lawrence Sanitary District in Massachusetts. And it shows how they have been using food waste from local restaurants and businesses to reduce reliance on the electric grid. So that's something we recommend that maybe you would like to tune into also. And we were all acutely aware of what happened in Texas a couple of weeks ago with the electric grid. So any sort of resiliency you can build into your system, all the better you are. And as you all know, it was the electricity, but then the fallout was the water supplies also. So again, between the resiliency risk analysis and resiliency, these are a couple of good things for you to be tuning into. And then we have the EPA Cybersecurity Incident Action Plan. And we continue to track cybersecurity threats and incidents throughout the US and certainly ask operators to remain vigilant. I'm sure most of you are more acutely aware of what happened in Oldsmar and sort of a case of they were doing some cybersecurity, but they had an old computer system. They had one password for everybody on that system, and they hadn't updated their security things. So again, this is real, it can happen, and this is something we certainly encourage you to do. And then one last thing Jane wanted me to discuss was you might have heard some supply shortage stories coming out of Texas. We checked with our on-scene coordinators and the Superfund, not the Superfund people, people who do inspections of critical facilities. And there was a slight decrease in chlorine production, sodium hypochlorite, and sodium hydroxide. But they've delved into that deeper, and it is not anything that warrants an alert at the moment. There's been a slight decrease, but not enough to be worried about. We're obviously following this. We'll continue to follow this. And that is the update.
Thank you very much, Kevin. And you know, all very helpful information, some about the cybersecurity and the terrible issues in Texas are obviously concerning. I thought I heard a little bit more of a hopeful note about the supply chain, where earlier information I had seen made it sound like that could be more of a widespread issue. And I actually wanted to raise that to the group here to say that if anyone is experiencing any supply chain issues, we certainly would like to know that. But it sounds like, Kevin, the latest information that you have suggests that that may be more of a narrow or limited situation, if I understood your update correctly. Is that correct?
Right. In fact, let me quote what was sent to us. In short, it seems that this recent development doesn't represent a systemic problem in the industry, but could impact individual customers of suppliers that receive their chloroalkali products from a facility in Texas. So it seems like it's limited to one facility in Texas, and it's not systemic at this point.
Okay, well, that's certainly reassuring. And like I said, if notwithstanding that, if anyone is experiencing supply chain issues, we certainly want to know about it. I know EPA wants to know about it as well. So thank you very much, Kevin. That's all really helpful. And I think next if Mike Maynard is here and is ready, I would turn to Mike for his update about the licensing board.
Yeah, I'm here. Can everyone hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, Mike, you clearly.
Great, thanks for having me. Just a quick rundown on some of the things that are happening with the Board of Certification. We have a board meeting this Friday at 10 o'clock. If you're interested in seeing what the agenda looks like, you can simply go to DPL, and on their website, they have the agenda. We've seen an influx of trainings, online trainings that have been submitted to the board for approval. And the actually there's 16 of them that are being approved. The majority of them are from New England Water Works. And it's worth mentioning, I know a lot of operators need to get their TCHs because it is a certification year, 12/31/21. So New England Water Works has a Learnapalooza, which is coming up at the end of the month. And that's the 30th and the 31st. You can check their website for the registrations. There's also, there's a cybersecurity training coming up with Mass Water Works as well. Jen can probably talk about that. There's also Mass DEP has entered into a contract with New England Water Works for a cybersecurity training, which we are planning in April. And then we may be able to give it again in the summer. So that, stay tuned for that. That's a cybersecurity training, 4 hours. That's how to evaluate your system and also some kind of best practices. There's also a lead and copper rule update training that is, I think, tomorrow, and Damon is presenting at that. And I think there is still space available for that. So that's a lead and copper update, EPA. And there's actually Damon and somebody else is speaking at it. As far as temporary emergency certifications go, we've issued two this month to Grafton Water District, and Fall River was also issued a provisional certificate. Now, each one of those certificates gives the community 6 months to address their operator needs. The board also, it will be voting this Friday on the regulations, which are 236 CMR. The review and evaluation has been going on for a number of years, but we're ready to move forward with a final vote to push those forward to DPL. Once DPL moves those forward, they'll reach out, there'll be public comments and look for information from the associations for comments if you want on 236 CMR. Also the DWSRF, the SRF program, they wanted me to mention that there's an additional $30 million available this year for lead and copper, or for lead service line related work. More information will be coming out about that shortly. And we also have a new board member, is Ruth Alfaso. She's the DPH representative. She also sits on the plumbing board, which is very helpful for us because she's got a good understanding of DPL and she understands the plumbing issues. And there's also one thing I wanted to mention that was brought to my attention, that there's a possible, and I'm waiting for confirmation on it, there's a possible closure of the Townsend testing site for PSI. So we're awaiting confirmation for that. So if you do have an exam scheduled at Townsend, just verify that the testing facility is open, and I will get more information when I hear it to Jen and to Kirsten at New England Water Works. But that's it for me. Thank you.
If I could just follow up on that one piece. So Townsend, I think PSI was reaching out to folks who had exams scheduled in Townsend to reschedule those. At least that's what I heard from one operator. So assuming that if you had an exam scheduled there, that you may have already been contacted. But if not, definitely do check into it. I saw a picture of a moving truck being loaded up. So I think they are completely out of there, but we'll certainly wait to hear from PSI.
Mike, I had a question for you, or I wanted to make sure we're clear with everybody about the cybersecurity forum that DEP is helping to organize that's in April. I am assuming that we're going to send out some type of formal announcement and sort of registration information soon. Is that the case?
WWA
and others, everybody on this call could receive that.
Sure. I talked to Don Bunker. The contract just got finalized 2 days ago. So we're just putting it together. It's an existing training that New England has given before, and it's based on some of the AWWA standards. So the gentleman who's one of the lead instructors was an IT professional for MWRA. His name escapes me right now, but it's starting to develop, and it will be a 4-hour training, and it's going to be limited to the first 50 people who sign up, 50 to 75 people who sign up. And again, we have the ability to roll that out again. So we're hoping to, you know, pull it together for April and then offer it again in the summer. So stay tuned for more details.
That's really helpful, Mike. Thank you very much. Okay, so I wanted to, before we turn to questions and comments, I wanted to address a couple of topics. One, I imagine, is on the top of everybody's mind, which is the COVID vaccine. And I know when we met last month, it was the beginning of phase two of the state's rollout, and which we know is scheduled for February and March. This sector and some other essential workforce sectors are included in phase two, group three. And we had hoped that we would have some more specific information to share with you today or before today. And though we have stayed in touch with DPH, and I know Jen has also stayed in touch with DPH, they don't have any specifics yet. I mean, understandably, they are, they're in the process of managing a huge logistics operation. And so, they're focused on the phase two, group two, which are, now it's open to people 65 and older and those with two or more serious health conditions. So, but I do want people to know that between our efforts and I know Jen's efforts, I know MWRA has stayed in touch with DPH, that they're very aware of this sector and your needs. We had hoped that someone from DPH might be able to come on the call and they know about our schedule. But they weren't able to do that. And they wanted to come when they have specific information for people. But we certainly have raised the various questions that people have been asking in terms of, eligibility, what type of credentials are needed. I know that some of you have thought about sponsoring employer-based vaccine sites, at your facilities or otherwise. And DPH did send out a notification last week, and Jen may want to say more about this, saying that at this time, they're not supporting employer-based sites simply because the level of supply from the federal government is not robust enough to support that. They are saying that may be revisited, but that's what they're saying for now, is that they are not looking to support those type of sites. So, this phase is supposed to conclude through March. So I do believe that we will have more information soon. I think it is hopeful that they are, they're making progress and they're now, on group two. So I think that that's a good thing. And everybody has seen all of the media about the larger vaccination sites and how Massachusetts has really made a lot of progress in the last few weeks. And I guess this is actually rated pretty high as compared to other states in terms of how we're doing with vaccine deployment. But at the same time, I know that that's all good, but I know everybody really wants to know when they and their workforce will be vaccinated. So I do appreciate that. And I want to assure you that we are, we're doing what we can to get information, and we have, offered to DPH to do whatever kind of liaising or providing information, anything that we can do to support your sector being vaccinated. So Jen, I don't know if there's anything else that you wanted to say about your communications with DPH.
I think you pretty much covered it, and we certainly do understand that there's frustration out there, and we will continue to try and make sure that that you all remain at the top of DPH's thoughts here. So I think, it's been challenging overall. And so I know you all pay attention to the news as I do, and we will do our best to try and make sure that you guys remain up there on priority.
Yeah, they certainly are very aware of the water sector. I will say that. They certainly are very aware. And I do think some of the efficiencies and the improvements in deployment that they've made in the coming weeks will ultimately benefit this community in this sector. But I know what everybody really wants to know is when will it be available and how do you and your employees sign up? So we will keep focused on that and share information as soon as it becomes available. The other topic I just wanted to touch on was the federal stimulus. And I also know that on that note, Jen has had some recent conversations or recent connections with the Division of Housing and Community Development. There is, and I think we talked about this last week, there is $638 million that is set aside for rate relief for low-income households or households who have a large proportion of their income dedicated to water supply. And so we believe that the funding will be coming soon through the federal Department of Health and Human Services. And we believe it will be administered by the Division of Housing and Community Development because it's supposed to parallel the low-income home energy assistance programs or the so-called LIHEAP program. So we believe that's the case. We believe it could be coming in March, but I think, Jen, you've actually made a connection at DHCD that I'm not sure we have. So you may have more details to share.
Actually, following this meeting, we have a meeting with the gentleman who oversees the LIHEAP program at DHCD to sort of learn more about LIHEAP and then to talk a little bit about implementation of that water rate relief in Massachusetts. He has some ideas. He's certainly willing to listen to our ideas as well. But, you know, we're certainly interested in having that money roll out as quickly and as efficiently as possible. And so just trying to figure out the right mechanisms to get that to the ratepayers who need it is the goal. So hopefully we'll have more to update on after the meeting with him today. But it looks like it may be sort of mid-March before the federal government provides guidance to the states on that. So rest assured that the national organizations are also following that on behalf of their members across the country.
That's really helpful and really smart to think about the mechanics of how the funding will flow. And certainly we're keeping an eye on the actions in Congress right now and the additional national stimulus legislation. So that's something that we're keeping an eye on and, you know, remains to be seen what will ultimately come out of the Senate. But I expect we'll all have more information about that in the days to come. And so with that, I think we would be ready for questions. And I can't quite see the chat, but there may be things that have come up.
So we don't have any questions that have come in yet, but please feel free to use the chat and put your questions in. Or if you need to, you can email me at jpeterson@masswaterworks.org. Or if you're unable to do either of those and you're on the phone, you can certainly unmute yourself with *6.
And I would also, while people are thinking about questions or issues they want to raise, I would say to Kathy or the BWR Boston team, if there are any other updates that you wanted to convey that I have not, you know, please feel free to unmute yourself or make your presence known to us and impart any information that you would like to share with the group.
Stephanie, I'll just say that thanks to Jennifer and the connection at DHCD, where we expect that federal funding to flow through. We also have a meeting set up with the same gentleman, and so we'll get the benefit of his hearing from Mass Waterworks membership first, and then we'll be touching base with them about what their ideas are on how the money will be distributed.
That's great, Kathy, and I had forgotten you did your own follow-up, so that's excellent. So again, between the two of us, our two organizations, we'll get as much information as we can and really be thinking ahead about that so that when the funding comes, it's an easy rollout. That's great.
I'd just also like to remind folks that we do have a joint meeting with DEP next Tuesday, same time at 2 p.m. to talk about PFAS, because we know that that's been an issue that's come up a lot and there were a lot of questions about that. So if you haven't already, we have put a pre-registration link out there. If you could just sign up for that PFAS roundtable, the March 9th at 2 p.m. that would be great, so that we have that all, everyone registered for that. So I'm not seeing anything other than helpful links and contacts in the chat for people to follow up on the training that Kevin mentioned and the training that Mike mentioned. So feel free to look at the chat for links to those training activities. You can feel free to look at the Mass Waterworks website too. As Michael said, we have cybersecurity coming up. It's quite a popular topic. So we've got a lot of folks registered for that. We have a centrifugal pump class coming up. So we are certainly trying to make sure that you all have opportunities to get TCHs virtually, even if not in person. And Kirsten did also put a link to the Learnapalooza. I'm not sure I will ever get that right, but Learnapalooza. So last chance for questions. You can feel free to unmute and *6. Or if you're on the computer, you can undo your microphone and we'll see you rise to the top and we can call on you.
And Jen, I'll just want to express appreciation to you and MWWA for organizing the PFAS forum and helping us think about, you know, what are the issues, you know, from the PWS point of view in implementing our PFAS standards. So it's helpful to us to just focus what are the issues that you really want to talk about, or the questions that you have, or the issues that you're seeing. So that's really helpful to us. So we're looking forward to that forum. And I know Yvette and her team are spending time preparing for that.
That's great. We appreciate your partnership on that. There certainly have been a lot of questions. So, all right. Well, I'm not seeing any others in the chat. No one's unmuting. So I think we are done with our call for today. But as Stephanie said, we are meeting on a monthly basis. So April 6th, the first Tuesday of April, will be our next call. And certainly, if you have questions in the meantime, feel free to forward them on to me. We can get questions to DEP in the meantime and have them answered, or we can compile them and deal with them on April 6th. So with that, I think I will end the meeting for today. Thank you very much, Stephanie, for standing in for the commissioner.
Absolutely. Everyone stay safe and stay well.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.